Addendum to a Photo Album by Vladislav Atrashenko, translated from the Russian and read by Lisa Hayden. Part 1. Africa. After Uncle Simeon's side whiskers burned up, he declared a period of mourning in the house, ordered all the mirrors be draped in black sateen, then donned a black suit with a satin collar that stank so much of mothballs, all the mosquitoes and flies in the house up and flew away. Toward evening, he sent identical telegrams to all his brothers. Depart immediately, son. An infernal fire devoured my side whiskers. Simeon Malachovich. He was not the eldest of the uncles, nor were his side whiskers the most substantial. The eldest uncle, Porfiry Malachovich, had side whiskers to his shoulders, and was, himself, so vast that he had difficulty squeezing through certain doors. But for some reason Uncle Simeon had taken to calling all the uncles son, perhaps because he lived in and managed the house where they had been born, or perhaps because Anushka, who had birthed all the uncles into the world, loved him more than the others. Uncle Simeon maintained that Anushka had kept his birth a secret from Malach, a brainless and decrepit idol who was certainly not his father, someone incapable of bringing anything into the world beyond the monster who was Uncle Porfiry, or the mediocrity who was Uncle Yosya, whom Anushka, either from forgetfulness or from empathy for Yosya's sickly frailness, stubbornly called my little youngest one, investing a grain of condescending tenderness into those innocent words. Those words irritated Uncle Simeon no end. If Anushka so much as uttered them after mentioning poor Uncle Yosya, Uncle Simeon would be stricken with something resembling a seizure. He would suddenly stop in the middle of the room and freeze in an agonized pose, as if a beam had been lowered onto his neck. He would stand for some time in one place, his eyes light blue, like January icicles, and furiously turning until the indignation caught in his throat finally discovered his tongue, which cast it into unthinkable expressions. "Oh, monstrous old woman," Uncle Simeon would exclaim, jerking his head up and shaking his splayed fingers in the air. "Oh, mellifluous harpy," he would say after a short pause, seeking the most effective intonation for the grandiose tirade already waiting to break free from his chest, unimpeded by any of the hesitations and obstacles that his ever-vigilant actor's instinct had placed in its path. "Oh, deranged woman, how many times must I remind you who sprang, to the woe of the universe, from your unbridled womb, when, and in what succession?" It was impossible to ascertain what woe Uncle Simeon meant. Nobody doubted, however, that, of all the uncles in the world, it was certainly he whom the universe had impatiently awaited as he languished in Anushka's womb like an inmate in a dungeon, installed there not by some whim of chance, like all the other uncles, but by the will of Providence itself. Or that the universe rejoiced when the mysterious gates of flesh finally swung open before Uncle Simeon at the appointed time. Or that myriads of stars glistened with a joyous light in the endless expanse of the cosmos when Uncle Simeon's first cry filled Malach's residence. But Uncle Simeon never explained why the universe was concerned with the other uncles, or how they had distressed it. Many miracles and omens accompanied Uncle Simeon's birth. During the year he came into the world, a northern wall in Malach's vast house suddenly collapsed in the middle of the night, revealing a hitherto unknown room. This was a spacious, hexagonal hall, gleaming with polished parquet and freshly whitewashed walls. A completely brand new chandelier of gilded bronze and colored glass, untouched by dust and resembling an inverted crown, graced the ceiling. It was under this very chandelier that Uncle Simeon would later deliver all his monologues and wrathful speeches, addressing the 13 chubby little angels Malach himself had sculpted on the ceiling. These curly-haired babies with their short little wings danced a joyful dance around the chandelier, harmoniously holding hands and flying in a cheerful gust, forming an unbreakable circle that was a symbol of unity between all 13 uncles, as wise Uncle Seraphim explained to his countless in-laws, since he understood the mysterious meaning of his parents' pronouncements and actions better than the rest. The little angels were Uncle Simeon's most devoted and patient listeners. Sometimes he called them stinking devils and shouted that he would smash the entire whoring pack of them with a hammer if they didn't stop smiling Malach's idiotic smile, which Malach had intentionally created on their faces so the scoundrels could always mock Uncle Simeon's speeches. But there were moments when Uncle Simeon was filled with tenderness for the little angels. He would point at them and say that a great day, the day of universal awakening, would soon arrive. And then, Uncle Simeon would say, glancing at the little angels, his eyes filled with affectionate, sweet tears, and then these dear tiny ones, these joyful babes, these purest offspring of the ether will come to life, rouse themselves, and fly, spreading their little snow-white wings, their bright faces gleaming, scattering around the world to proclaim everything they had heard from Uncle Simeon in that loathsome corner, where nobody had ever understood his fervent feelings, his noble ambitions, or his intentions and speeches about the greatness of brotherly love and the non-entities that were the uncles, who had only appeared in the world to fatten themselves at their apiaries, as did Uncle Porfiry, or wither away at a reeking gasoline station, as did Uncle Yosia. No, Uncle Simeon shouted, shaken by his own eloquence, these walking testimonies to the repulsive, elderly lust of a half-dead madman who had dared lodge his despicable seed in a place specially prepared for just Uncle Simeon would never be elevated to the heights of love.